And we bring in Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group. Kerry, how are you?
You know, Marty, I just made the walk over to the stadium from my hotel, and 3 blocks feels like 3 miles in this weather.
You know, it's so funny you say that, because, you know, of course, I live down in Mesa, and, you know, when I'm there in the winter, the weather's pretty good. But I have gone down for shows in the summer. And for folks who don't know Chase Field, there's a big parking structure right next to Chase Field. You know what I'm talking about, Kerry, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Next to the ballpark. So the walk is probably from the parking structure to the media entrance. It's probably 300 yards or something like that. And it's the longest 300 yards you ever want to go in your life. It's like walking in an oven. Really, it's incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, I could do without it. I'll leave it at that. You know, I lived down here for 5 years. I know all about it, but you never really truly get used to 110
no.
degree heat.
No, you don't. It's like standing in front of the oven and just opening it up and standing there. So, well, it's nice inside, I will tell you that. And look, I've watched baseball a long time, and, you know, you've covered many, many games here over the last couple of years, and you see something different at the park every night. But where does last night rank for you?
Yeah, you know, in terms of chaos, in terms of insanity, it was a top two game for me this season. And probably since I've begun covering the Giants a few years ago, I'd rank it up there with that 8-run comeback they had at Great American Ballpark earlier this season, where Stephen Vogt hit the big home run in the 9th inning. Evan Longoria put them ahead in the 11th. I mean, you just never see anything like this. Yet all of a sudden, it's becoming much more common across baseball. It's crazy.
Well, the thing for me is, I mean, you know, the core guys, you know, Belt hit a home run last night. Longoria got a hit last night. Posey got a hit last night. But, Kerry, you look at what's going on with this team, and I know the Cubs did win today. They shut the Pirates out 2-0, which they did win a game on the road behind John Lester. You know, the Giants are only 3 back in the loss column of the Cubs and the Phillies, and it's done mainly with guys who did it last night. And it really is an incredible baseball story what's going on.
Yeah, it's remarkable, considering most of these guys who are performing right now, Mike Yastrzemski, Donovan Solano, Alex Dickerson, they were not on the radar at all in spring training. When we went down to Scottsdale, we spent 5 or 6 weeks there, and you look back at it, and it feels like a waste. What did we really accomplish by going to spring training, Marty? We learned nothing about what this team would look like, because 123 games in, it's an entirely different squad. They're competing much deeper into the season than we thought they would, and they're doing it with guys who most people had never heard of entering 2019.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. The one thing we did learn is that Cameron Maybin can play. Come on, he's playing for the Yankees, and they're talking about keeping him on the active list and not Stanton. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Cameron Maybin, who just couldn't hit the ball out of the infield in Scottsdale and then went over to the AAA affiliate of the Indians, was batting .216, all of a sudden finds himself in New York, and that swing change that has worked for so many players, Austin Slater among them, has propelled him to a career year.
Yeah, amazing. Cameron Maybin, we saw a lot of him at spring training. But your point is well taken. I hadn't really thought of it that way. We should one day go back and take a look at one of the rosters from about March 15th and just see who was on the roster then and where we are today. As I said, you know, one of the things about this season, why it's successful to me, is the transition has taken place. Now it's commonplace for 5 transactions in one day. We don't even think twice about it. We see that all the time.
Yeah, we see that all the time. I mean, today when Logan Webb gets added to the roster, there could be another roster move just because they were short on bullpen guys after last night's game, goes into extra innings. So many different pitchers needed to be used, and I think there's concern of overworking guys like Tony Watson, Will Smith, Reyes Moronto right now. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Webb wasn't the only new pitcher who was in town today.
Yeah, what else could happen? What do you think?
Well, it's hard to know because they've optioned Sam Selman. They've optioned Williams Jerez. Kyle Bearclaw is no longer on this roster. Dan Winkler is not on the roster. So if they were to pull up a reliever, it's hard to say who it would be just based off of their 40-man options. But, you know, I don't think anyone expected Fernando Abad to be here the other day. And sure enough, he shows up. And Fernando Abad has looked like a find. He was pitching well in Sacramento. Lefty who can throw 95. He's got 338 games of major league experience. And now he's pitching in high-leverage situations because he came in last night in the 6th inning when the Giants needed outs. And he, granted, he didn't get them when they wanted them, but he did help get out of that tough 7th inning.
Yeah, he did. Well, the fielder's choice and Longoria dropped the ball. on that one. It was a tough play, and then he got the out right after that, the strikeout of Rojas, who was completely overmatched. But I will tell you this, I like Abad. I saw him when they got him at the end of spring training, and I've seen him in the big leagues before, and in my opinion, for whatever it's worth, he's on this team right now. He is not going anywhere.
No, no. Well, he doesn't have options. They're not going to DFA him. Fernando Abad's going to be with the Giants for the rest of the season. I think I feel pretty confident in saying that.
Well, the other one is Yastrzemski. And I know everyone's written about it and the three homers in the game and the three rookies this year who have done it and the Giant history. You know, it's never happened and all this kind of stuff. But I'll tell you something. You go back and forth on an amazing story of 2019, and you may start and stop with this guy.
You really could. I mean, what Mike Yastrzemski has accomplished out of absolutely nowhere, Marty. You remember the trade on March 23rd where they sent Tyler Erb, minor league pitcher, to the Baltimore Orioles, and we were wondering, why is Farhan even doing this? They already had 12 outfielders. It wasn't like they needed to bring someone into camp to push anyone for a spot, and Yastrzemski went over to minor league camp, began the season at AAA, really is a depth guy who wasn't going to get much playing time, and then he hits 12 home runs for Sacramento, earns the call-up to the big leagues, and I don't think anyone expected him to stay here this long, let alone be the Giants' best hitter. And so he has 16 home runs after last night, three in the game that you mentioned, and he's just been a really pleasant surprise and probably the biggest surprise this organization has had in the last 2 years.
Well, we laughed when he came up. You know, well, yeah. is it Carl Yastrzemski? You know, it was a big joke, and he's been outstanding, and it's legit. I mean, he hits the ball a ton. He hits it a mile, and I remember when he first came up, I said, well, you know, he's got a quick bat. He could hit the ball to left field and, you know, move the ball around, but the power all of a sudden is legitimate power, and frankly, I'd leave him in the leadoff spot. I would not take him out of there. I don't care who's pitching.
Yeah, 548 slugging percentage for Mike Yastrzemski, and that stands out to me because the last Giants players to have a slugging percentage above 500 in their rookie seasons were Willie McCovey, Orlando Cepeda, and Buster Posey. And a few of those guys won Rookie of the Year. Yastrzemski won't touch that award because of what Pete Alonso has done over in New York, and he probably won't finish in the top three because it's been such a good year for rookies in the National League. But if he was in the American League, he would have definitely inserted himself into that conversation for what he's been able to accomplish for the Giants, and I'm with you. I think you keep him in the leadoff spot. It's not just a power threat. He's also a good at bat. And I think that, you know, we saw him chase the first pitch last night in the top of the first inning, but he usually works deep in counts, and that's something the Giants need out of that player.
Well, the other thing you said was Slater. How about, you know, quietly, Slater is becoming a factor in the outfield as well.
You know, it's very much like the Los Angeles Dodgers model under Farhan and Andrew Friedman the last few years, where the Giants and where the Dodgers were platooning players, where Jock Peterson would only play against right-handed pitchers. He'd never see a lefty. Alex Verdugo, the opposite. He would only play against, or I should say the same. And you've got a few guys in that outfield. A.J. Pollock plays more against lefties than he does against righties. And now Slater's the guy who's brought in to kill left-handers for this Giants club. And he's been so good for the Giants. He hasn't just hit left-handers, he's also hit righties, but he's been doing damage when you insert him into the two spot in that order.
And he looks confident. He looks like he belongs. You know, he's got to look like I belong here. I like that. I like that about him.
Yeah, he's got that mentality too. I think that, you know, last few years he had promising but unsatisfying results. This year he's lifting the ball in the air. He's taking a lot more walks, and I think he's just got a lot more confidence in his approach.
And he pulled the ball last night, or the night before, I forget when it was, but he got a pitch on the inside and turned on it and just whacked it.
Yeah, and that's always a good sign. I mean, he profiles more like a Buster Posey type of the hitter and going the opposite way, but he can pull the ball when he gets it on that inside corner.
Well, interesting story. Look, as I said, they're in 39 games to go. They're still in the middle of this whole thing. You just have to win series, and they've got a shot to win a series today. But the spotlight and, the Barracuda, you know, player of the day and who my spotlight is on and all that kind of stuff is Logan Webb. Here we go. And we saw him in spring training. What's your take on him personally and the stuff?
Well, I think he was very rattled by the steroid suspension. Even talking to him yesterday, we learned that he said that he won't ever shake that, and he was very upset. He still believes he's innocent and that something happened there. that was beyond his control. And I think he's got a huge chip on his shoulder. He's out to prove he belongs. He's just 22. And with the open spots in the rotation, Marty, right now, there's Tyler Beede hasn't been great of late. Sean Anderson's on the injured list, and he struggled. Logan Webb can win himself a job right now if he continues the run that he's been on in the minor leagues and comes up to the major leagues and just gives them five quality innings. They don't need seven from him. They can get that from Madison Bumgarner tomorrow. They've gotten that from Jeff Samardzija in recent starts. They just need five quality innings out of Webb.
So what's turned around here? I mean, the 12 home runs last night and, you know, 13 is the record. The Phillies and Diamondbacks, I think, had that a few months ago. But what is it about the Giants? Why are they competitive now? And I realize at home, sometimes they get home and they don't hit at all. But you watch them play and you match them up against anybody around, they seem to hold their own. Well, what is it about this team? Why are they competitive?
It's the supplementary pieces. In 2017, 2018, they didn't have much around the core. And when the core players like Posey, Crawford, Panic, and Belt struggled, the Giants weren't able to withstand those struggles. They weren't able to overcome the adversity that was brought on by all those core players failing at once. And this season, you've got Yastrzemski, you've got Donovan Solano, you've got Austin Slater, Longoria's having a bounce back year. You've got a number of different guys, even Stephen Vogt belongs in that conversation, who have really picked this team up and put them on their shoulders, because the core still hasn't been great, but they've masked those issues, especially in the last couple of days, as the Giants have won five of their last six.
Well, it's been interesting, to say the least. I don't know if it was noted or not. I did make mention of it in the open today that Bochy, of course, manages differently at some point of the year, and he's in that time zone where he starts managing differently. I've noticed it for about a good week now. He double-switched Crawford out of the game last night. I haven't seen that for a while.
You know, I went back and looked at the game logs, and he has been double switched out of a game, but at least since 2018, it has never happened when the Giants were holding a lead. And I thought that was interesting, that he was willing to bring Crawford out, was confident enough in Solano's defense and his ability to put the ball in play, that he wanted Crawford out, and he went with Solano from the fifth inning on. And that was kind of interesting. You're right. Bochy is managing differently these days. I think it started in that game Sunday Night Baseball when he pulled Connor Menez after just five outs against the Phillies, a game that the Giants used eight pitchers and ended up winning 9-6. And this may be the point of no return. Maybe this is when we see Bochy kind of ride the hot hands a little more frequently than he has, and maybe rest some of these core players who haven't put up the numbers that the Giants expected them to.
You know, it's funny because this is Bochy's last year. He's getting close to 4,000 games managed, 2,000 wins. He may have a shot at Leo DeRocher's record, 2008, depending on how the team goes. I think that he's a good match with Farhan. And I think he's a good match with Farhan. You know why? Because he's always got players at his disposal. And if guys need a rest, Farhan gets him out of there and brings up a new guy. And I think Bochy is such a manipulator of players and getting him in the game and matchups that I think all these Abad is a good example. That he brings Abad up. Next thing you know, Abad is in a critical leverage, high leverage situation. I think Bochy's a good match with Farhan. I really do.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I said it as far back as spring training, Marty, when I wrote my initial piece on how Farhan and Bochy were kind of going to be married together for one season. They knew that it was final. A lot of people just expected them to tolerate each other. I think they've really worked well and really enjoyed working with each other, just because their styles do kind of sync up in more ways than people think. You know, Farhan was pegged as this numbers guy, but he really loves players, and going out and acquiring a Yastrzemski, acquiring a Solano, where you can put them all over the field. Yastrzemski can play all three outfield positions. Solano can play various infield positions. They've got bullpen depth, which is something that Bochy always thrives with. Mm-hmm. I think that it's been a match that has been a very pleasant surprise to this Giants organization. But, you know, anyone who knew Farhan well coming into this season, anyone who knew Bochy well, probably wouldn't be as surprised by how well they've matched up.
Yeah, I am. I didn't see it coming quite as easily for Bochy. He loves doing this stuff, and Farhan, as you say, loves transactions. They, you know, he makes three or four a day. They pick up a guy, they DFA a guy. Ryan Dull is now a Yankee. You know, Bear Claw is back at Sacramento. All right, what about Jalen Davis? This is the next guy. I don't know how they're going to get him up here, but he's coming up here. I'll guarantee you that. Three homers for Sacramento last night.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Jalen Davis, because back in May, all you had to do at Sacramento was hit 3 home runs in a game, and you earned a call-up the next day. That was how Mack Williamson got his way back to the major leagues. But you look last night, Jalen Davis doesn't have a roster spot right now. There's nowhere for the Giants to put him if Yastrzemski's hitting 3 home runs, if Pilar's leading the team with 17 on the season, 2 last night, including one very clutch extra-inning home run. And they need Dickerson's bat in the lineup. He still looks like he's acclimating to major league pitching coming back from that injury, but Austin Slater's been the nice fourth piece in the outfield. So where do you find at bats for a guy like Jalen Davis right now? And it's hard to believe that we've gotten to the point of the season where the Giants don't have a true natural fit for someone who's hit 30 home runs in the minors this year.
They're going to find one, I'll tell you that.
I don't doubt it.
They're going to find one, and this is going to be another interesting moment. Well, on the other side, Arizona, they have a little bit of a resurgence in there. I like their spirit. Greinke is gone. Ray is on the DL. They have made some moves, but they're still a team that fights. They fight you. And, I'll let you go with this one. I know you got to get to work. Adam Jones. Everyone wanted Adam Jones and Adam Jones. If you had Adam Jones, you wouldn't have Yastrzemski or Slater. And that's why he didn't go after Adam Jones. But Adam Jones torments the Giants, as he did last night. What a story.
Yeah, he does. He really hasn't had a good season. Yastrzemski's been better. Dickerson's been better. Slater's been better in his limited opportunities. But Adam Jones has found a way against the Giants, the one team that I think he probably really would have entertained an offer from. There were guys in the Giants clubhouse who wanted to see Adam Jones in the clubhouse in spring training, but they passed on that. They committed to one veteran outfielder. They wanted a true center fielder. They brought in Kevin Pillar, and he proved to be an addition that has worked out really well for the club, and they've after, 2 months of toiling and cycling through, they finally found the complementary pieces that they needed to complete this outfield and make it productive.
Boy, it's fun. It's fun. Last night, I'll tell you, it was, 7-2, and you must have written your game story and felt pretty good and ready to wrap it up. And next thing you know, how'd you deal with that last night?
Oh, I wrote about 12 different game stories from the from the sixth inning on. It was, I'd be fine never writing on deadline again. That was difficult, but you pushed through. And after the lead had gone back and forth a few times, Marty, I just wrote something generic at the top about how chaotic and insane that game was, because really we haven't seen anything like it. But the D-backs played in one just 2 months ago where there were 13 home runs. So they had, and it just goes to prove how different baseball is in 2019.
It's all over the place. We just got a taste of it last night. Every night, if you watch Quick Pitch or any of those shows, every single night this is going on. And we just got to see it last night for the first time close up.
Yeah, maybe move the fences back. That'll make Oracle Park distinct next year.
Boy, what a story. What a story. Well, this will be a good one tonight. The kid going, Logan Webb, we had him on. Remember, I did that little video with him in spring training. And I like him. He's a nice, confident kid. And then the kid on the other side, he's had his moments. The Giants have seen him twice. What do you know about him?
Not too much about him, honestly. Heading into the series, he wasn't a probable pitcher, so I didn't do as much research on him. But Taylor Clark, right-hander, the D-backs were high on him. I don't know if he can get through 5 or 6 innings, but the goal would be probably for him to get through 4 or 5 solid against this Giants lineup, face him twice, and then turn it over to the D-backs bullpen that was definitely overworked last night. So it may play to the Giants' favor if Webb can give them 5 solid innings, as we talked about.
Yeah, a number to just chew on a little bit. The Giants' pen last night, 5 2/3, 8 hits, 7 runs, a walk, 5 strikeouts, and 5 home runs given up. How about that?
Yeah, that's not good. They blew a 5-run lead. They blew a 2-run lead. They had their two top relievers in there, setup man Tony Watson, closer Will Smith, and ultimately they needed Trevor Gott to get the final out. So what a finish.
And they won the game, and that's August baseball, and it'll be to see which bullpen can survive to the end of the season, and that's the story. Well, what a twist on a baseball season.
Yeah, it's been really fun. 39 games to go, and Marty, I think at the beginning of spring training, no one expected this story to be so interesting at this point. The mosaic is still coming together.
I like that. Very good. And Samardzija's still in the middle of it. We could talk about him tomorrow, the next day, whatever. But I thought he did well last night, too, before they got him out of there. Kerry, take care of yourself. Have a good time. Where are the folks today?
That's a good question. Haven't checked in yet. So I believe probably walking the dog today.
All right. Well, it's a beautiful day up here today. Very nice up here today. And just stay cool, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
All right. Sounds good, Marty.
All right. That is the great Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group. Back with more right after this.